Joyful Fellowship with God and Man, Part 7, Resources for a New Community, 1 John 3, 19 through 4, 6. When we look out on a world, on our world, a joyful community is not what we see. Nations are at each other's throats. Within the nation, there's severe polarization. The church often seems hopelessly divided and unable to work together. Churches themselves can be nasty places. People get hurt and they don't come back. Families are ripped apart. Those who should be the greatest support become alienated from one another or do terrible things to one another. What hope is there for such situations? Well, yeah, we have the answer in this verse. It is prayer. We can receive from Him anything we ask. 1 John 3:22. There are endless resources in prayer, just as God Himself is endless. We should not look upon any situation outside of us and think, this is hopeless, because God is greater than our challenges and is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even imagine. So, we are not helpless victims in the face of the evils and divisions of this world. We can ask and receive from Him anything we ask. 1 John 3:22. In this passage, there are two conditions that need to be fulfilled in order to have confidence before God to make these kind of requests. One is a heart of love for other people. The other is faith in Jesus Christ. Each present their own unique challenge, and we'll consider the internal challenge to love and then the external challenge to faith. Finally, we'll consider what it means to ask and receive from Him anything we ask. So first, let's look at the internal challenge to love. The internal challenge is to have a clear conscience before God. As we approach God, we need to remember that He is holy and righteous and pure. God is light, and in Him, there's no darkness at all. If we are to go before God, then our heart needs to be one that flees the darkness and pursues the light. Verse 19 connects this section with the previous one. Love of our brothers and sisters is a sure sign that we are part of the light and have passed from death to life. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. When we have a heart of love towards others, we can also have confidence before God. On the other hand, if we harbor hatred or contempt or unforgiveness towards others, then we cannot have confidence before God. This is exactly what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Matthew 5, 23 through 24. It is also why He said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We cannot enter into prayer with a heart of love for God, harboring hatred and contempt for human beings. We can't praise God and curse men at the same time. We cannot divorce the horizontal from the vertical. We may sometimes not think about where we are in our relationships with human beings, but we need to remember that God sees our hearts. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything, 1 John 3:20. People have taken this verse in two ways. One is negatively. God knows the truth, and so we should be completely honest before Him. The second is positively. God will show grace even if our hearts condemn us. Both of these present some truth, but I think the former fits better here, because it is about testing our hearts. The goal is that our hearts would not condemn us, and so we would have confidence before God. So we don't want to hide anything. There are two key things that we are looking for when we look at our hearts. And this is His command: to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He has commanded us. 1 John 3:23. Do we have faith in Jesus Christ? Do we love our brothers? Without faith in Christ, it is impossible to please God. It is only through Jesus Christ and His atoning sacrifice that we can enter into God's presence. We must actively believe this and enter through Him. However, God does not want us to ignore our relationships with others either. See how important love for one another is for our Lord? If we have love for our brothers and sisters and faith in Jesus Christ, then we should have confidence before God and ask of Him what we need, expecting to receive all things from Him. Living in faith and obedience is the way we live in communion with Him. The one who keeps God's command lives in Him, and He in them. 1 John 5:23. Now note, this is precisely what Jesus told the disciples at the end of his life, as we have it recorded in John 15. Jesus said, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." John 15, 7, 10, and 12. Read that whole section. I think you'll gain quite a bit of clarity on the meaning of this passage in 1 John 3. Now, there are several questions that come up here as we think about having our hearts condemn us before the Lord. Well, what if our heart does condemn us? Then what are we to do? Do we have to obey for a certain amount of time in order to be able to go confidently before God? No. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. 1 John 2, verse 1. A heart that does not condemn us is a mere confession of sin away. Nothing should keep us from approaching God. If we have sin, let us confess and forsake it. The second question is, what about other people? What if they don't want to be reconciled to us? Do we have to wait for them before we can go before God? Well, distinguish here between forgiveness and reconciliation. Forgiveness is being open to being reconciled. It means we're open to others. We cannot control them, though. In our hearts, we should let go of the wrong and be ready to be reconciled when they are ready. To be reconciled, they have to want to also come together. Now, as we think about knowing that we belong to Christ, we should not think that this is just our own mental exercise. The Spirit of God himself will lead us, and this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us, 1 John 3:24. As Paul puts it, the Spirit of God witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8:16. The Spirit enables us to be sure that we are children of God. Now let's look at the external challenge to faith in Christ. As soon as John speaks of the Spirit, he tells them they should not believe every spirit. Not everything that is religious is necessarily good. Instead, he says, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world, 1 John 4:1. He warns them against that which would lead them away from faith in Jesus Christ as the one true God and eternal life. According to John, there's one key test of the true and the false prophets. What do they say about Jesus? This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, even now is already in the world. 1 John 4, 2-3. They may say something about Jesus, but they deny that he is the true God come in the flesh. They deny then the truths of our faith. And we should recognize that many people will like what they say. They are from the world, John says, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the world listens to them, 1 John 4:5. False teaching is powerful because it is seductive. It is not always immediately repulsive. We have to be on our guard. In our own day, we can see the same thing. It's still the key mark of false teaching, what people say about Jesus. Those lead people astray try to say that Jesus is something different. He's not the true God. He's just a man or something else. He shows the way, but he's not the way. This is what the false teachers will say. It's easy to be religious and miss the true religion. There are many false prophets gone out into the world. That's why we can't just accept whatever sounds good or appears religious. We cannot believe every spirit. We have to test the spirits. There are things that could lead us astray. Without Christ, we have no access to the Father. It is our faith that is foundational to our relationship. Without it, we have no hope. So we have to be on our guard. Now, John's expectation is that his readers have not followed false teaching. They have overcome the world through faith in Christ. That's how we overcome the false teachers, our faith. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. This is what John will say in the next chapter. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. So we need to guard our faith. We need to know and understand what we believe and why over against what we do not believe and why. A good place to think through this is in our confession of faith. It's not infallible, but it's a helpful guide that helps us think through how the church has avoided false teaching through the ages. I recommend them to your study. These are tools that will help you keep you in the faith. This will help us think through what lines up and does not line up with the apostles' teaching. Now let's think through then the goal of all of this, of fellowship with God. Now some people can get interested in theology for its own sake. They have a curiosity that drives them to study these things. We must remember, though, the goal of all theology is piety, joyful fellowship with God and man. Any study of theology that does not lead to joyful fellowship with God and man has missed the point. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. 1 John 3:24. In addition, when we have faith in Jesus Christ and love for our brothers and sisters, God invites us to ask anything in his name. He invites us to seek from him joyful fellowship with God and man. This is what he's willing to give. As John says in chapter 5, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have what we asked of him. Verses 14 and 15, John chapter 5. John probably heard in his ears what Jesus said to them just before he died. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, why then does it seem that our prayers are so often unanswered? Well, probably more are answered than we think. We just don't remember all the things we prayed for and all the ways God has blessed us. However, faith in Christ and love for our brethren is going to push us in a certain direction. We often pray for things that we don't really need to make our joy complete. We often think that our joy will be complete if we can live in the right place or the right house or have the right job or have the right friends or have the right things or have the right vacation. None of these things are true. What we need to experience joy is faith in God, hope of eternal life, and a love for God and for our neighbor. What we need is wisdom that understands the right way to live, courage to live it out, temperance to say yes to the best and no to what is not the best, and a heart that seeks the blessing of our community. That's what we need to make our joy complete. Now, sometimes God gives us those other things too, but we really need to complete our joy. What we really need to complete our joy is faith, hope, and love. Second, our requests aren't often aligned with love, or sometimes aren't aligned with love. Love is a desire for others' fellowship and well-being. When we get a vision for the well-being of those around us, then God will answer our prayers. He will open doors. He will change lives. I remember when our church in Spearfish had a moment of repentance. We realized that we had not loved our community in the way that God had called us to, and we began to confess our sins and pray together regularly. God began to move. He brought people to our church who needed to experience that love. He brought people who would help us show that love. It was an experience I will always treasure and remember. Ask anyone who's gotten that sort of a vision what happened when they prayed. Ask our ministry partners about it. You will hear that God gave them what they asked. And that's what we can do also on an individual level. What happens when we really start to pray for the people around us? What would happen if we interceded for the people in our community? God would open up doors. Let me challenge you to have at least one person outside of your family that you are praying for regularly. Think of one person who needs the love of God, his people, and pray that God would open the door. That's one thing you could do, and see what God does when you start to pray. In this passage, God then challenges us to keep our faith pure and our conscience clear. That's the goal of this passage, is that we would have a clear conscience. Why? So that we can go before God. He wants us to fellowship with us. He wants to fellowship with us and use us in the world. That's the goal that is open to us. If that's not where you are, then there is nothing keeping you from it except the confession of your sins. So confess your sins to Christ. Seek his grace. There's forgiveness and there's cleansing. And then we can go with confidence before the Lord. But if you are there and you see that confidence, then what he wants you to do is to enjoy fellowship with him. Start asking him to do work through you in the community. Start interceding for the people around you. This is the amazing resource that we have. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. Amen.